Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. Now I appeal to Odia and Syntyche, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they work hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the Book of Life. Always be full of joy. I say it again. Rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Here ends today's reading.
Pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I can't remember when it started, the voice-animated answering services that went well beyond the answering machine. I think it's been years and years, like maybe back in the 70s. I honestly don't know. Now, of course, you can even interact with digital voice systems that can ask you questions with a quasi-realistic inflection in his or her electronic tone. It's like you're conversing with a computer. Animated answering services can give you balances in your checking account, directions to a restaurant, and can even give you the latest weather report. And of course, the fact of the matter is getting access to a live person to deal with a phone issue or a cable issue or a bank issue in many places is a very, very big deal and not an easy task. Part of the reality of living in this day and time is that it's getting harder and harder to make real and deep human connections. I mean, think about it. We cash our checks, we make deposits at ATMs, we pump our own gas and pay for it electronically outside with not having talked to a soul. We can get anything we want online and never have to talk to a single person. And the latest iPhone commercials make it all seem really, really great. And it is, to a large extent. Technology is a great thing, by and large. It allows us to get a lot done a lot more effectively and efficiently most of the time. But I wonder sometimes if we are not left with a void in our lives where there used to be deep and rich human interactions. I know that some argue technology has allowed us to connect and communicate in ways that we never have before. And they argue that this is a very good thing and that those communications can be as deep and as personal as face-to-face interaction. I can remember last semester sharing with my interpersonal communications class at OCC an article that I read about in the New York Times about a family who lived in Israel that had moved to the States. And one of the family members here in the States passed away. And it was way too expensive to have the family from Israel fly over for the funeral. And so they Skyped the whole thing. And it was the sense of the article was it was an amazing connection that this family in Israel could have with this family here that they could not have had in any other way at any other time. And that's why I think some people argue that communication can really be a good thing. And it can be. But we still, on mission trips, will tell our kids, no iPods or cell phones on the work site. When you are there, you are engaged with the family that you are working for. We don't want you texting and IMing and having conversations and playing games on your phone when you should be visually and verbally engaged with this family that you're there to serve. And even when you come back to school, very minimal access to cell phones and iPods. We want you engaged with people face to face. Otherwise, faces and brains will be buried in text messaging and games. Even in church, sometimes I will confess to you it drives me nuts when we're passing the peace. And there are some people who cannot get their face out of their games to shake hands with people around us, even here in church. I will admit, when I was a kid, I would have loved to have one of those toys in the pew. But there comes a time when we need to go face to face. When the Bible defines God as love and defines us as created in God's image, I think the Bible is tipping us off to something very, very important. And that is this, that there can be no real love without relationships. God made us to be in relationship, and sometimes, more often than not, I truly believe that those relationships are best made and developed face-to-face. And I don't know about you, but somehow I have never been convinced that the animated voice over the phone really means it when it says, "Thank you very much, have a nice day." I love the passage of Scripture that was read so beautifully by Steve Arnold today. And I love it for lots of reasons. It is so rich and deep with lots of great ideas in any translation. And appeals, as the note in my study Bible calls them. The final chapter in Paul's letter to his beloved church in Philippi is called, in fact, Final Appeals. And there's lots of good stuff here. Any single verse would provide a great theme for a sermon. But I was struck when I came to the passage this time around by the very first verse and the fact that Paul addresses his beloved brothers and sisters whom he loves and longs for, mostly because he's in prison at the time of his writing the letter. He addresses his brothers and sisters in the church there at Philippi as his joy and his crown. And it got me thinking, who are my joy and crown? Who are yours? I mean, I don't doubt that we all have a few very, very close friends. Those kinds of friends that we love to talk to and share food over and spend time with and who we do that with regularly. They are our joy and our crowns, and we all need a few joys and crowns in our lives to make it rich and meaningful. A quick parenthesis here. Several weeks ago, I got one of those chainmail things from Kermit. I usually just delete them without giving them a thought, but this came from Kermit. And I thought, I'll play Kermit's game. It was one of those little recipe things, you know? You got to cut and paste your email address into this and blind copy 20 people. Took me a long time, Kermit. But I've gotten some pretty cool recipes out of it. At any rate, the kicker here was you had to send it to 20 friends. Well, I just happen to know a few other people who got this little email from Kermit. One of them was our own Andrea in the front office. And she was helping me do this blind copy thing because I've never sent a blind copy email before. So she's overlooking my shoulder, telling me where to click and everything. And she says to me, "Yeah, I got the same thing from Kermit." And you know what? I couldn't figure out who 20 friends are that I have. I don't have 20 friends. And then she said, "I have 5, and that's who I sent it to. And I tell those 5 people," she said, "all the time, that I love them very much." It's not about the number of friends. It's about the quality of those few joys and crowns that we have. Everybody has to have a few of them. And if you don't, we need to talk. Paul apparently delighted in the relationship he's established and maintained throughout his itinerant ministry. At least he is delighted in these that he had in the Philippian church. Clearly, Philippi was Paul's most beloved church. He's always speaking in the letter largely with terms of endearment. And even if Paul is writing this letter under house arrest, we can sense that he was comforted by the thought of these his brothers and sisters there, his joy and his crown. But you know, if you follow the three missionary journeys that Paul took in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and you look at the maps in your study Bible, and you see all the places he traveled over the course of those three major journeys, and you follow his communication with folks through his letters, it seems sometimes like Paul was always on the road. And we get the sense that he sometimes went years between seeing or hearing about those whom he called friend. Even still, the apostle rejoiced in all of his personal relationships, and I believe was strengthened and nurtured by them and his memory of them, as is the case in the passage before us today. But it makes me wonder, how did he do it? If he was rarely face to face with the same group of people for more than a few months, and then would go for a year or more sometimes without seeing those people, how could they be his joy and his crown? How could there be this deep and rich relationship with them? Was there something special he did besides write them? I mean, honestly, there were no computers back in that day. There were no planes. He couldn't fly. How did he maintain that closeness? Well, I think maybe precisely because his way of life was so unpredictable and so nomadic, perhaps Paul had learned to be genuinely and fully present with each person he met, no matter the circumstance, no matter their class, custom, or culture, and no matter how much time he had with them. He was fully engaged in the moment. And I would wager he had quite a memory to remember all the people in the course of his journey. And those moments were meaningful and transformative for everyone, precisely because he had been fully present in those moments and days and weeks with those people. So I'd suggest to you that you can have a personal relationship with each person you encounter in your life, because a relationship is not defined solely on the length or duration you are engaged with a particular person. A relationship is established when a genuine connection is made. And I wonder if we might add a few more joys and crowns to our lives if we worked a little more on making these connections with people outside these walls. So here's a little something to think about. I'll call it a joy and a crown test, just to check to see if there might be some personal relationships that we can make out there. Question one. When is the last time you actually looked directly at the sales clerk in the eyes as you took the bag or package and said to them by looking in their eyes, "Thank you very much," and meant it? Question two. So you're in Wegmans, and the cashier says, "Hi, how are you?" in that rote kind of way. And you say, "I'm fine, how are you?" without looking that person in the eye. And they say, "Fine, thanks." What if you say instead, or if you say to that, "Are you really fine? Or would you like a break right about now?" Something to engage them in more than the ordinary. I challenged my interpersonal class last semester to try this out. At the end of the semester, when we were evaluating the whole class, several students said to me that was the most transformative thing they've ever done in their lives. And they have developed some pretty decent friends in the grocery store. I'm just saying. If you need a joy and a crown, You don't need to look very far. Question 3. What color eyes does your child's favorite teacher have? Or what color eyes does your boss have? Or your administrative assistant? Or that colleague down the hall? Question 4. Does your dental assistant at your dentist's office have a dog? Did they have a dog? If they did, what was the dog's name? You see where I'm going. Question 5. The kid handing you the hamburger out of the drive-thru window at McDonald's or any other fast food place that we frequent, does he have a name tag? What did it say? And did you call him by name? Along the same lines, question 6, the waitress or waiter comes up and says, "Hi, I'm Bob, and I'll be taking care of you tonight." Do you notice that they call you by name when they bring your bill at the end of the meal because they've read your name on the credit card that you slapped down? And they say, "Thanks for everything, Karen. Hope you had a great meal. Come again. It was a pleasure serving you tonight." Can you remember their name at that point in the evening to say, "Well, thank you, Bob. You did a great job tonight. I appreciate your good care." Simple things. You can have personal relationships with each person you encounter in your life. And you know what? In this day and time, when face-to-face encounters seem to be occurring less and less frequently, I think we would do well to make more of an effort to connect with folks. And I think that it is one small way for us to live as Christians in the world. And maybe even do a little marketing for OHPC at the same time. Let us pray. God, we pray that we would be able to be incredibly grateful for the joys and crowns in our lives, but that we would be unsatisfied with the number, and that we would make every effort to be more personally engaged with people around us, even as you were, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name.